All right, well, welcome to the member meeting. It's wonderful to be here with you all for the member meeting. I have a few things I'm going to share with you. I also promised some people that I would make myself available during member meetings from now on for question and answer. Since I don't do any personal coaching or counseling, and I used to have mentor groups where one was on Monday, one was on Tuesday, where people could come and they could ask questions, but I've stopped doing that now. And so people were asking me, well, how can we ask you questions? What about the member meeting? And so I will make that time available, I promise. And if no one uses it, then we'll just find something else to do. But first, I have a few things I want to share with you. For those of you who don't know, the reason we have the member meetings is when Awakening Together first started about a year and a half ago, people were concerned that they wouldn't know what was happening at, you know, the management level, wouldn't know what was going on. And so we promised to have member meetings every month where we filled everybody in on what was going on, also give you the opportunity to give us feedback. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is our fall retreat. Last year we had a retreat in Santa Barbara, which some of you went to. In 2015, I started to say next year, but that is actually this year. This year, we're going to have a fall retreat here in Colorado, in Colorado Springs. And I spoke about this a little bit at the last member meeting, so this may sound familiar. I wanted to give you an update about what's happening with the fall retreat, but since there's some people here that weren't here last time, let me just repeat some of what I said last time. The fall retreat is actually going to be three retreats right in a row, and the reason for that is some people have requested longer retreats, and yet there are others who can't get away from work or whatever for longer retreats. So we thought what we would do is just have three retreats right in a row. You can come for one, two, or all three, however suits your schedule or whatever your calling is. The first retreat is going to be October 30th through November 1st, 2015. The second retreat begins on November 1st when the first retreat ends, and it goes through November 6th. And then the third retreat begins on November 6th and goes through November 8th. So altogether, it's October 30th through November 8th. And the way that works, the first retreat is a Friday evening through Sunday lunch. The second retreat is Sunday evening through Friday lunch. And the third retreat is then again Friday evening through Sunday lunch. So three retreats right in a row. And we're working still to determine who the retreat leaders are. For me, and this is personal, so I'm sharing something personal, but for me, the retreat location is always most important. When I go on retreat, I like, obviously you just listened to me speaking about devotion, I like a place that leads me to feel devotional. And so the first thing that we focused on was picking that place. Plus, you can't really have a retreat until you have a place. You can't pick your dates until you know what dates work with the retreat center. So we found a place here in Colorado Springs that's really lovely. It's the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs. You can look that up on the internet and you can look at pictures. Franciscan Retreat Center. There's several things about it that are lovely. One is it's right at the edge of Colorado Springs, right where the mountains begin. So people who like to go off walking in the mountains and be alone, you can do that. You can just walk right off of the Retreat Center grounds, follow the trails right into the mountains. Also, the place itself, being a Franciscan Retreat Center, there's many little devotional places around. You know, like a bench next to a statue of Mary here and a bench next to a statue of St. Francis there, you know, different things like that around. There are deer everywhere, and they seem to have no fear of people, deer everywhere. We've reserved two lovely buildings. One building will have the whole time for all three retreats, And the other building we'll have on the weekends, because we are expecting that more people will come on the weekends than during the week. In fact, what we the estimate that we projected was 40 participants each weekend and 20 participants during the week. So we reserve two buildings on the weekends so that 40 people can sleep. And then we have one building that we've reserved during the week for only 20 people. And I guess if more people sign up, we'll look and see if we can get that other building during the week too. Also, there are hotels nearby with just a couple miles away, and people who prefer could stay in a hotel and just get a commuter rate to the retreat, at least on the weekends. During the week, in those types of retreats, we usually ask people to be there. They're a little more involved, a little more devotional. We want people to stay in the environment the whole time. So now the next step is to select the speakers, the format, and we did a survey of people who have gone to retreats in the past to find out what they really wanted in a retreat. And I wanted to share some of that information with you. The primary thing that people want in a retreat is they want a retreat leader who speaks from his or her own direct spiritual clarity. It's interesting because we also asked people if they wanted to get clarity on A Course in Miracles. That was one of the lowest choices. Very few people wanted to go on a retreat and have someone speak to them about A Course in Miracles. We also offered the opportunity to have what we call open inspiration circles. I went to a retreat once where there was no leader, and where one person would just speak from inspiration until they were done, and then another person would just speak, and it was three whole days of this, just everyone speaking from inspiration whenever they wanted to. And I had heard some people say that they would like a retreat with no leader, something like that. So I put that as an option on the survey, but it was the second lowest choice. So people didn't really want the open inspiration circles. And the third lowest choice was the attitudinal healing circles. You know, such as we did with Choose Again here in Colorado last year, that was actually the third lowest choice. So the three things that people seemed to not be interested in were clarity on A Course in Miracles, open inspiration circles, a no-leader retreat, and attitudinal healing. But the three things that people were most interested in was spiritual clarity from the speaker's direct experience, not learned, but direct knowing. The second thing that people wanted is to be in the presence of one who is clear. It's very similar to the previous one. So really, if you put those two together, that seems to be what people want the most, is they want to be in the presence of one who has clarity from direct experience, not intellectual clarity from learning. The next highest thing that people wanted from a retreat is unstructured quiet time for silence, walking, and being alone. And as I mentioned, this particular retreat center really lends itself to that very, very well. The next highest thing that people wanted was some teaching, again, from this person who has spiritual clarity from their own direct experience. Teaching, followed by being given time to contemplate, so that kind of fits back to the unstructured quiet time again, followed by coming together again and hearing from everyone's clarity based on the contemplation. So this is a little bit similar to the open inspiration circles, except there is a leader. There is a bit of structure to it. You know, there's a leader with direct clarity that is sharing something, some kind of teaching, giving something, some kind of a contemplation assignment, people going off, being alone, contemplating it, and then coming back and sharing from their own clarity. Yeah, like Costa Rica, Kathy says. In fact, this format is a format that I often use. So it's a very, very Regina Don Acres type of format. Those of you who are in Costa Rica know this format. Those of you who are at the intimate gathering with Regina in Santa Barbara a couple years ago know this format. The next thing that people wanted, let's see, what was the next highest? It looks like the next highest was some unstructured open time just to be with and play with one another. And in fact, one thing I've done at this particular retreat center, we do have rooms, conference rooms that we've reserved for the actual retreat, but I've reserved an additional room for socialization. So people, it's a really nice living room kind of room where people can just kind of gather and be together. Because of course we're an online church and, you know, we see each other online all the time, but we don't get together in body very often. So when we do get together in body, of course we just want to spend some time being together. So that is going to be built into our retreat. I've reserved a room where people can kind of just sit and hang out, and that was the next thing that was wanted. And then the next two things, which were tied, were coaching and practice to help improve or enhance my daily spiritual practice, and then traditional satsang, where the teacher answers questions that are asked by the participants. So this kind of gives you a feel for the type of retreat people are looking for. And so we are following that data as we are selecting our retreat leaders. We're not going to select the type of teacher that would come and just speak from intellectual knowledge on A Course in Miracles, because you all have said that you don't want that. And, you know, we're probably not going to have, although we love Diedrich, we're probably not going to invite Diedrich, because what he does is attitudinal healing circles, and you all have said that at least right now you don't want that. So we're going to be looking for leaders, retreat leaders that have spiritual clarity from direct experience, who, when you're in their presence, there's something about just being in their presence. We're going to be looking for some unstructured quiet time, some teaching and contemplation time, maybe some coaching and practice, and some traditional satsang, along with some socialization, socializing with one another. So that's the kind of retreat that you can look forward to. And as we select these retreat leaders and find that they're available to come, we'll get back and share that information. Hopefully I can share that by the next member meeting. So before I move on to the next topic, does anybody have any questions they want to ask directly about our fall retreat in late October, early November here in Colorado Springs? Yes, this is it's an Awakening Together retreat, Roy. Yes, it's our second Awakening Together retreat. So in that way, it is a part of the Awakening Together sanctuary. Any other questions? All right, the next thing the Awakening Together sanctuary is a church, yes. And by the way, I should tell you, since you brought that up, Roy, this wasn't on my agenda, but I will mention it. In the United States of America, you can declare yourself a church, and as long as you follow the laws that govern churches and you declare yourself a church, you are a church. No one has to approve that because of the separation of church and state. And we have declared ourselves a church, and we do follow the laws that govern churches. However, most churches still decide to apply for and seek IRS approval of their church status, the IRS agreeing that you are a church, and we have also done that. On December 10th, we sent in our application. When I balanced our checkbook a week or so ago, I noticed they had cashed the check. There's a $400 check you have to send in with your application for church status. They've cashed it, so I know that they've received it, and I know that they've opened it enough to at least have found the check. And I'm sure we will be hearing from them as this year gets moving. As you know, it's been the holiday period. So we'll find out what happens as we move into this process of being formally approved as a church. Look forward to seeing what that's like. I've heard that they assign a caseworker to you and that the caseworker gets to know you pretty well. So it'll be interesting. I've never been through this process before. It should be fun. We sent in an application that was about 2 inches thick. So they have lots of information about us. So we'll see what happens next. The next thing that is on my agenda that I wanted to share with you, some of you may remember that on November 11th of 2014, we started a spirit-led campaign to raise funds for our own retreat center. We want to purchase an Awakening Together retreat center here in the Pueblo area where you all can come anytime you want to for retreats. And I just wanted to let you know that people have begun donating towards that retreat center. Since November 11th, we have raised $5,262.89. And of course, when you have to raise enough money to purchase a building and property, you know, it shows that we still have a ways to go. But I'm very encouraged by how many people are showing up. And what they're doing is they're sending primarily checks. We've had a couple of people donate through PayPal. But for the most part, people are sending checks because they know when you donate through PayPal, PayPal keeps a fee. Right? And when you send me a check directly and write in the memo, Retreat Center, there's no fee. So people are sending checks, they're writing on the memo line, Retreat Center. And if they write on the memo line, Retreat Center, that's included in the money that we're raising for the Retreat Center. If people do not specify that it's for the Retreat Center, it goes into our general donation fund, which is also needed. We have operational expenses. But our general donation fund is actually doing quite well right now. So it's very possible that at some point the board may decide to transfer some of that money from the general fund to the retreat center. So we're really doing, you know, pretty well financially for the small church that we are. We're doing pretty well, and I'm very happy. My personal kind of hope was that we would raise $5,000 by the end of 2014. Again, we just started in November, and we did. We raised $5,262.89. So I was very, very happy to see that. If you all are interested in looking at some of the properties that are available in Pueblo, you can just go to our website. I try to keep that up to date. Of course, when spring comes, there'll be a lot more properties coming online. And we never know what's going to be available when we finally have the money and are ready to purchase. But sometimes it's just kind of fun to see what you can get for the money. There's one particular property that I think is really interesting. In fact, let me just get that link and give that to you now. Y'all can go have a peek at it. It'll just take me a moment to get over there. Okay, so for those of you who like to look, here's a property. I'm going to put the link in the room. This property is in the mountains, right near Pueblo. Oh, that's my daddy. I love to talk to my daddy, but I'm going to have to turn him off for now and call him later. Anyway, that's the property. You can have a look at that if you like. It's south of my house, kind of south and a little bit west in a town called Wetmore. But if you look at it, you can see that, you know, the types of properties that we have around here. I think that particular property has, how many acres did this one have? That particular property comes along with 35 acres. You can see if you look at the pictures that they're beautiful acreage. It's a nice home. And the price is not too outrageous. It depends on where you live as to, you know, whether you think it's outrageous or not, but the price on this home is about $350,000. And again, 35 beautiful acres, 4 bedrooms, let's see, I think it has 3.5 baths. The house size is 4,000 square feet. There are other rooms that are not considered bedrooms that could be used as bedrooms. They're large enough. There's 10 rooms in all. So very nice house, lovely acreage. And so, again, any of you who feel inspired to do so, if you want to donate, just write on your check, if you send the check to us, write on your check that it's for the retreat center. And I'll be sure that it gets deposited into the account that we're using to raise money for the retreat center. Also, we're going to start looking at grants very, very soon and start applying for grants. And so maybe we'll get some help from that as well, some money from that. So before I move on to the next thing on my agenda, does anybody have any questions about our campaign to raise money for a retreat center? All right, then. The next thing I want to mention, I mentioned this morning, but I'll just mention this again, is that we do have a class coming up in February. Is it tax deductible? Is what tax deductible, my love? You mean the donations? All donations are tax deductible. Is that what you're asking? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you donate to the retreat center, absolutely, that's tax deductible. So, in fact, I think that's why we got so many checks at the end of the year. That's when people are thinking about that, right? And they're sending out their checks. Yeah. All right. So, the next thing I just wanted to talk about is in February, there's a new Bhagavad Gita class starting. It's a 3-week class, but it is going to be offered both on Tuesday evenings and Wednesday morning, meaning you could take one or the other, whichever one suits your schedule best. You could take the Tuesday evening class, which begins at 7:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 to 9:30. Or you could take the Wednesday morning class, which begins at 10 Eastern Time, goes 10 to noon. Jay McCormick will be teaching the Tuesday evening class, and Nikki Dobson will be teaching the Wednesday morning class. 3 weeks only, just to kind of familiarize yourself with the Bhagavad Gita, and also to help people learn to read and contemplate in order to receive their own guidance, their own direct guidance. It's really to help people get in touch with that inner guide, which we often call the Holy Spirit. That's how this particular course is designed with the Bhagavad Gita. So if that interests you, just go to our website, awakening-together.org. Go to the classes menu, and then you'll see right there underneath classes where it says new class starts in February or something like that, and click on that, and you can find out more information about the Bhagavad Gita class, and you can also register there. The cost is $60. Yeah, direct guidance is where it's at, Ron is saying. You know, and lots of people feel like they don't, you know, people say, I don't hear Holy Spirit, or I don't know how to know what my guidance is. And this course is designed to help you realize your own guidance from the Bhagavad Gita. And people often do realize very clear guidance while they're studying the Bhagavad Gita. So it's a very good class. And again, it's only a 3-week commitment. All right, so the next thing on my agenda then is to talk to you about our January 18 satsang. As you know, we have an online satsang right here in the room at this exact same time, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the third Sunday of every month. So our next online satsang is going to be January 18th. I'm going to turn the mic over to Ken Gibson, who is actually going to talk to you about that satsang and who our guest is going to be. He's the one that found this guest, and he'll be the interviewer that night. Ken, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. The song that Regina played by Daniel Namad is one of his beautiful songs, and he is the artist that we met about 7 years ago. He was the guest musician at Unity of Tustin, where we were attending at the time. And we fell in love with his music then and have since attended a number of his concerts. And at times he is now even doing the entire worship service by talking about how he sees the world, his faith, his journey, his truth, and then he mixes it in with his songs. So he is a singer, songwriter, producer. 2 years ago, he created his own studio. It was all paid for and built by donations by people who love his music. He lives in Southern California, and he, like Regina, left a successful career, successful life, that he received his own kind of guidance and said, this is not for me. This is not being real. It's not being, and he left it and went into songwriting full time. And after he had been writing for a while, he received guidance to clear his calendar for 3 months. And he left and went to Moab, Utah, in the beautiful Red Rock area, and spent 3 months there. No cell phone, no contact, nothing, and ended up writing 150 songs. And 12 of them were on the Water CD, which we gave to Regina when we were at the Santa Barbara retreat. And so one of them was When You Hear the Music. So we loved attended two of his retreats, one of which was with he and Karen Drucker, and they talked about their lives in the music industry. And the other one was an all-day retreat with just he and music mixed in, again, with his truth. So he is a real humanitarian, which his studio, again, is called Humanity Music. And the morning of the 18th, I will be doing the morning service, and I will talk about his songs and how they have impacted both Becky and I. So hopefully you're interested, and you listen to the service, and then listen to my interview of Daniel. Thank you. Releasing the mic back to you, Regina.
Thank you. Yeah, so I look forward to that. I love the story you just shared about him and that 3 months of silence without a cell phone or anything and those hundreds of songs coming through. It just sounds magnificent. And Moab is a beautiful, beautiful place. What I'm going to do now is just go ahead and play another one of Daniel's songs now that we all know that he's going to be our satsang guest on January 18th. So I'm going to play the first song from his Water CD, and it is called Water. So here we go, the title song.
I've seen my share of struggle when I thought that I knew best. When I sailed through a storm, set a stop and a rest. And it always seems the hardest when I made up my stubborn mind. Well, I'm changing my ways this time. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, from a dark pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Have you ever seen an eagle head straight into the wind? Doesn't pick a fight, spreads his wings and just gives in. And in the end he always makes it home just fine. I guess he knows every storm subsides. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain in the shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water and a no more, I am bound for the sea. I'll let nature take its course. No more thinking that I know where this river's meant to go. I've railed against the stars for the cards that I've been dealt. For the lottery I've never won, for the heartache that I've felt. But it always seems when I let go, expectation and regret, life has plenty of surprises for me, yeah. I wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool
I'm really excited about getting to know Daniel Kinn, and I'm glad that you're bringing him to the sanctuary. So I will be here on January 18th to hear the online satsang with Daniel Namad, or Namad, I guess you're saying it with the long A, Daniel Namad. Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. Well, as I mentioned, I promised that I would make time available at the member meetings just to answer questions. And again, you could ask questions about awakening together, our policies and procedures and that kind of thing, anything like that, our business, our finances, if you like. But also, I think the people who made this request, what they were really looking for was an opportunity to get what we might call coaching. Ask spiritual questions that one might ask me if I did counseling calls, which I don't. So, does somebody have something they would like to ask? Or, by the way, if somebody just has something they want to share, that's okay too. Barb says, question on the retreats later this year, you didn't mention if there would be music. That's because I don't know yet. I think that that's a possibility, but I'm not sure yet. So we need to continue talking and see what happens. So maybe, maybe not. Hopefully that answers your question, Barb. We did, Cortana was highly requested, by the way. She was one person that people really wanted to see. We'll see what we feel about, how we feel about Daniel Namad after we hear from him. One thing, of course, we always have to look at is the budget. One thing we always do with, retreats, I've been criticized by a couple of people, but most people seem to appreciate it. that is that I try to keep the price as low as possible. Occasionally I do get criticized for that. A couple of people have said I shouldn't be so concerned about price, just charge whatever needs to be charged. But most people seem to indicate that they do like being able to have a retreat that is not too expensive. So right now I still have one eye on the budget, and after we know who our speakers are and what that's going to cost, then we can look and see what would happen if we brought in a musician and what that would cost. And again, I'm keeping an eye on how much I have to then charge you once everything gets added up. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, there are those that have budgetary restraints, yes. Of course, you know, we also do have scholarships available, but not everybody can come in scholarships. So I do like to kind of try and keep the price at a very moderate level so that as many people, I don't want money to be the reason people can't come. You know, I want people to come if their heart says come. Okay, Lynn says that Mandy Solk, S-O-L-K, will be teaching here on Friday afternoons at either 12 or 1. Lynn, I don't know anything about Mandy. Do you want to take the mic and tell us a little more about what that means? Oh, here's a link to one of her Buddha at the Gas Pump interviews. Okay, oops. Okay, Lynn, I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to you to see. Yeah, go ahead and take the mic.
Okay, so yeah, Mandy is she is a person that she had been widely hullabalooing as being awakened, and had a lot of interviews and went on Buddha and the Gas Pump interview, and then later she realized that there was more, and so she. And there were things that you could do to get more, to actually, there were practices that you could do that could really help to even become more awakened. And I see that too, because I've seen that happen quite a bit. But she basically just came out and said, you know what, I thought I had all, and you know what, there's more, and now let's talk about that. And so she's had a second Buddha at the Gas Pump interview, which that's the one that I've put the link here. She's been interviewed a couple times on Conscious TV. Same thing. She went on Conscious TV and was interviewed. Then she, when she had this other realization, you know, she had to go back and say, well, you know, here's what I thought, but not, she is hopefully going to be starting, I hope, this Friday afternoon. So it will be great to hear her. She came on one Friday, and she actually got a Pal Talk account and everything. So, and she's adorable. She's just absolutely adorable. She's Scottish, I believe. So she's in Scotland. So, she's very aware and very clear in a lot of stuff. So I just thought, you know, since there are folks here that are not normally here during the day, that they might want to think about tuning in to listen to Mandy. So here is the mic back, Regina.
Yeah, thanks. And when you find out whether it's 12 or 1, if you happen to remember, let me know, and I will try to come in and have a listen. Lynn is asking, will you tape her and replay the tape also for people who can't be here right then at that particular time? And of course, if you really think that, you know, especially her first talk, if you think it's worth it, it might be something that you could send to Nikki and have her look at it as a possible featured talk as well. So again, so far no questions, which is absolutely fine with me. But like I said, I did commit to people that I would make myself available. I do have something else I can share if there are no questions. But I'm going to take one more opportunity to say, does somebody have something they would like to ask me before I move on to something else? Oh, I saw a hand go up and down real fast. Nancy, the mic is yours.
Oh, thank you, Regina. I just wanted to say, it wasn't really a question how much I was moved by the reading this morning and the discussion about it, and the part that I found it very helpful to me. I found the question arising in myself, how does this help me? How is this helpful to me? And that last paragraph that says, but the source of all that is the infinite possibility, the supreme reality, which is in you, and which throws its power and light and love on every experience. And it was helpful to me. Whatever, I find it very helpful, whatever draws me to what I really am, to help me see that. And I found that so helpful. And the analogy about memories and the present moment. And I just wanted to tell you how helpful that was. And as I was sitting with it in the hour after, I was actually talking to Myron the hour after church, which is my regular time with her, but I was babbling on and on to her about it. And it reminded me of in Inner Ramana. And I'm having trouble finding the page right now, as I did this morning when I was talking to Myron. But it was the when you were scribing in a Ramana, and you were writing down the words, and you came to a word that you felt was not correct. And it was that, I know that you probably know just where it is. It was the self that is ease experience. the self experiences was not correct. It was the self sees experience. And that reminded me of exactly what this line in here, the self is what throws its power and light and love on every experience. And I thought that was a beautiful connection and also just so helpful in identifying myself as the power and the love and the light that is illuminating experience. So that was all I wanted to say, just a really big thank you for today's reading. When I first got the reading, I was like, wow, I'm glad she's going to talk about this because it felt really over me. But it was very helpful, so thank you. Letting go of mine.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. I actually kind of wondered what you thought about the reading when you first got it because, it's just like when we often read A Course in Miracles for the first time, many of us, it like says nothing. But once you get into it, it really starts to speak. That's the same thing with Nisargadatta. If you don't read Nisargadatta all the time and you read something that he says, it can kind of not say anything. But if you really start to spend some time with him, it's very clear and it can take you a long way. So thank you for sharing, Nancy. And Ron, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And I want to say I really liked what Nancy said. And it really seems like there's a shift in the room at this point towards direct guidance. And I have, as you know, Regina, that I have been talking to Lynn about doing a class that I call The Mystic's Journey. And this was generated out of a class that I've done and just got done with it with my Unity minister here. And what he did is he gave us some tools so that we could find out what a core value is and we're able to write our mission statement. And the core value is really a list of what I think are different aspects of God. And I believe that we are all different aspects of God. We're a different expression of God. And, to me, that's where the idea that we all are one really made sense. To me, it was an experiential thing rather than just a concept. Not that I rejected the concept, different facets of the diamond, I like that. So, to me, when I learned my core value, and the Reverend Larry said that when you see your core value, you'll have an emotional experience with that. It is something that spoke to me in that way. And I first started out with three core values. And so that's something that I would like to share with people, a core value. And you may not nail it right away, but the idea is to take that core value and work with it. Find others that have a similar core value. And a lot of times you'll see it in your experiences day to day. And, For example, Lynn, I think her core value is relationship. Because she does a very beautiful job of running the room. And she has a relationship with all of these people that just feel, it really feels beautiful to me. Her value is wisdom. And I can't tell you exactly what wisdom is or how I experience that, but I'm looking by. And wisdom, I have the feeling that it is beyond knowledge. It's beyond repeating like words out of a book, and memorizing passages from the Bible and Course in Miracles. And for me, I've experienced that everybody has their own truths. And it seems to me that higher truths or higher wisdom, number one, would be looking for God in everything. And second of all, that we all have our own way of experiencing what that is. And to me, finding my core value was kind of a way that I could go from religion or somebody else's concept of what God is and start having my own direct experience. And that's why I applauded and said about the direct experiences where it's at. I feel like I've lost my religion, so to speak. And I think that A Course in Miracles, to some, maybe has become a religion where they could be, maybe their spiritual growth is slow. And there is so many more things out there. And I love what Lynn has been doing to gather here to bring so much more stuff in. And I really appreciate written and your teachings, Regina, because my microphone is down. So, hi, Cindy. Is that better, I hope? So I think that what we're doing is we're pulling in, we're gathering many more of those resources, and really what I'm going to do is just contribute to those resources and help people maybe have that personal experience, whether or not, you know, altars and all the books, to me, they're like road signs, they're like pointers. But I think that you really, really start to do the work and you really become committed when you have that personal experience. And I think you know what that's all about, Regina. Anyway, just a few ideas that could help somebody maybe come to that point where, they're not quoting this and that. And once again, one thing that I have done for myself, and this is your journey. It's not the journey about some other avatar, maybe that lived a couple of thousand years ago. It's your journey. And what we would like to have you do is have your experiences. I would like people to come in and share what their journey is all about and where they've led it. And I can tell you that that happened for me, and I was in tears. I was in tears because it was an emotional experience for me, very real for me. And a lot of it had to do with maybe quotes that I've found from this writer or that teacher or from any book or whatever that just rang true with me. And when I get a quote like that, and we also form what we call a dream team. And that dream team might be somebody like the Dalai Lama. He's the number one on my dream team. And we can just imagine what it would be like sitting with, say, the Dalai Lama and what he might say to us in a particular circumstance. So we all formed our dream teams. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me just to think of what it would be like sitting in the presence of a Dalai Lama. And so when we have teachers like that, we can go and study them And I can tell you, it lifts my spirits. It's like having an altar that I can go to any time and get comfort and get inspiration. It is very joyful. And I have to say that when I was, with a group of NTI, NTI was one of those books that did it for me. So thank you, Regina. So, beekeeper. So, yeah, anyway. So I think I'm complete, and I'll drop the mic for you again, Regina. Thank you so much for listening. This, of course, is an advertisement for the class, so I'm laughing about that. So, and anything that any of you can bring to make the class better, that this is your class. I'll share with what I can, but hopefully it inspires you to bring and to make this your own journey and to share that with the rest of us, because I seem to believe that that's what awakening together really is. It's all of our journey, sharing. So, thank you. Here's your mic.
Thank you, Ron. And I don't know if you haven't picked out a day and time yet or what, but I noticed Cindy's asking when, what, how. And I also noticed that you didn't say anything about that. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Regina, and thank you, Cindy. Yeah, Ron and I are kind of working on when and where and how. It's going to be sometime, maybe once a week here in this room, and we're just looking at what kind of things that we would like to do for people so that we all get some benefit out of it and have the experiences like Ron is talking about. So as soon as we get that together, we will be doing it. And Ron is having his medical stuff. But, I mean, really, it's something we can all work on. We can work on together. When, what, where, and how. Exactly. And then we are doing the nonviolent communication on Mondays. We just are talking about it, playing some recordings, and then we're going to pick a day when we can actually come together in the room and practice deep listening and empathy and just how to communicate with our brothers in a more loving way. So those are a couple things that we're doing, and I think is a good use of our time rather than just listening to people talk and doing listening to recordings, that we can actually participate in something where we get experience joyful experiences. So anyway, so as soon as we know, Cindy, we will know. And did you get a new computer? Are you on your new computer? Anyway, I'll let the mic back to Regina.
Yeah, thank you very much, both Lynn and Ron, for sharing that additional information about the Mystic's journey and also about the nonviolent communication. I think the member meeting is a wonderful opportunity to bring these things up. So that's something else I just want to invite members to do. If there's something you want to share at a member meeting, also during that last part that I said I would keep open for questions for me, we'll also make that open for announcements from you. So I won't fill up the member meeting agendas. That way we'll have some time there where we can share with one another about other things that are happening that the members might want to know about. All right? Does that sound good? Because I love the sharings that we had tonight from Nancy and Ron and Lynn. So thank you very much. And now it is time for me to go. I will be back in 1 hour, and we will look at today's daily quote together. Between now and then, I have 3 recordings to edit and post, so I'll be leaving the room in order to do that. But I'll be back in an hour. See you then. Bye.